Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. Luke, chapter 11. Luke 11. I'm going to read from verses 1 to verse 13. 1 to 13, Luke, chapter 11. Very important passage. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this passage. I've preached it myself quite a few times, actually, but today I look at it, go about it a little differently today. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, by the way, notice he said, when you pray, he didn't say, if you pray, when you pray. There should be a regular prayer time. You would have a regular prayer life. It should come as natural to you as breathing, eating, talking. And so on. When he ceased, the disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray as John, meaning John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, again, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Once you know those words, thy will be done. Last week I preached about how you can know God's perfect will. And some people tell me they were helped by that. And I want to continue along those lines. Today I want to pray about, I want to talk about praying according to God's perfect will. Alright? Last week was knowing God's perfect will. Today I'd like to talk about how to pray according to God's will. And I hope it'll be a help to you today. But mark those words, thy will be done. We want God's will. We want to be in God's will. And we want to pray according to God's will. I'm afraid a lot of prayer is not according to God's will. That's not effective prayer then, you see. It's only effective if it's according to God's will. Anyway, thy will be done as in heaven, because God's will is always accomplished in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. By the way, some folks call this the Lord's Prayer. Strictly speaking, it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. How could the Lord pray to give us our sins? He would never pray that, because he was sinless, right? So I know what they mean by that as a traditional name for it, but strictly speaking, it's not the Lord's Prayer. Now he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, please, Mark verses 9 and 10. Because if you want, we want to understand prayer, we have to understand what our Lord is saying in verses 9 and 10. These verses are very, very, very important. Verse 9, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Do you believe that? I mean, didn't Jesus say that? But yet so many folks don't believe that. It's amazing how many folks call themselves Bible believers, but they don't believe the Bible. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Let's stop at this point and ask the Lord to bless this preaching service. Heavenly Father, help me now as I do my best to expound these scriptures. You've given me a message on prayer today. You gave me a message on the will of God, and now knowing the will of God and praying in the will of God. Help me to do my best to explain what you taught me so I can teach others. And I pray the Word of God will be a blessing to us today. The Spirit of God will take the Word of God and speak to hearts. Lord, is anybody in this room that's not saved? We pray they'll get saved today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, last week I preached on a very important subject, knowing the will of God. And God has a perfect will, and God wants you to know that will, wants me to know His perfect will. And I stressed last week that prayer plays a very big part in knowing the will of God. You want to know God's will? Ask Him. Amen? Ask Him. And He'll reveal it to you. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be preaching. Now, in the Bible, we find many instances of believers asking God to show them His will. Last week, I referred to the wonderful story of Abraham's servant. And he was praying and asking the Lord to show him, to lead him to a wife for Isaac. And you know who that wife was? Rebecca. Now, go to Genesis 24, please. Keep your place in Luke. We'll be right back. But we'll look at a few other scriptures, too. Look at Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. And look at verse 26. Well, go back to verse 12, and then we'll get up to verse 26 later. We'll go to verse 12. We'll see how he prayed. We're going to look at the prayers of this servant. And the servant said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee. Notice he's praying. I pray thee. He's hoping to God. Send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. By the way, we call that intercessory prayer. He's praying not so much for himself. He's praying for Abraham. And he's praying that God will give Abraham's son Isaac a wife. So he's praying, really, it's not a selfish prayer, right? He's praying for his master Abraham. Now look at verse 13. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. He's making a prayer, and says, Lord, if she responds this way, I'll know you've answered the prayer, and that's the wife for Isaac. See that? That's a very simple prayer, right? It's not complicated. But you notice, he had faith. He believed God was going to do that. And what happened? God did it. And if God did that for Abraham's servant, can he do it for you and me? You say, well, my son doesn't need a wife. Well, it could be something else, amen? He's not a half a son. I'm not even talking about that man. Whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. For Gideon, he put out a fleece for something entirely different, right? But whatever it is. Now, look at verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled a pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, watch this, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. You got that? That's exactly how he prayed. He said, if she says, I will draw water for thy camels, I'll know this is the one for Isaac. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. What does that mean? He was amazed. He said, wow, God answered that prayer pretty quick. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't take long at all. I just got here. Oh, this beautiful girl comes along and she's saying exactly what I prayed to say. Word for word. And he's wondering, saying, wow, he held his peace, saying, to win or to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both store and provender enough and room to lodge in. Now watch it. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. He not only prayed beforehand, he prayed afterwards and said, Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering that prayer. God is good. Amen? And notice, he kept on praying. He didn't just pray and say, well, God, this is what he got to do. God did it, and then he kept on praying. If you read this chapter, he continued praying throughout the chapter. Look at verse 27. And he blessed, he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord, what? That's the perfect will of God. Amen? You see that? He prayed and God led him. He knew the will of God. God was leading him. God will lead you too. And God will lead me. Now look also at verse 51. Verse 51. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. So, in other words, he just kept on praising the Lord and kept praying. Just keep praying. And so we see he was a man of prayer. Now, again, I want to stress, this servant was not praying for himself. He was praying for Abraham, and of course for Isaac and Rebekah. Now, go back to Luke 11. Look at Luke 11. And notice in the parable in verse 5, Jesus said, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go with him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine, his journey has come to me, for I have nothing to set before him. Notice this man is not asking bread for himself, he's asking bread for his friend who's traveling. You see that? Praying in the will of God is not selfish prayer.
Amen.
James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, says this, You have that, because ye ask not. You ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So James says, you're not having your prayers answered because you're praying the wrong way. They're selfish prayers. You look at the Bible, the prayers that are answered are not selfish prayers. I mean, a lot of what goes on in so-called Christian circles, the prayers are not right. Now, intercessory prayer is praying for others. Harry Ironside said this, It is a very blessed privilege to know God in such intimacy that we can go to Him on behalf of others. Wow, that's good. Now, we saw last week in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, I was tempted to go back in there today, but the Lord led me to Luke 11. Maybe next week we'll go back there again as I pray and seek God's will in this matter. But we saw last week that the indwelling Holy Spirit intercedes for us and in us. The Holy Spirit turns the heart of the believer toward the heart of God. The Holy Spirit motivates us to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. We saw that in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit maketh intercession for the saints, but according to the will of God. So you want to be in God's will? The Holy Spirit will help you and guide you to pray according to the will of God. As we said last week, we may not know God's will, but you know God certainly knows God's will. Holy Spirit is God. He knows God's will. And it is through this fervent praying that we find the perfect will of God. Now this morning I want to look at Luke 11. Luke 11 begins with one of our Lord's disciples asking him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Notice in Luke 11 verse 1, our Lord was praying in a certain place. You ought to have a certain place where you pray. Amen?
Amen.
A place where you can get alone and pray. You say, well, I'm in a house with a lot of people and there's not much room. You'll find a place, amen? Go out in the backyard if you have to. Go to the garage. Go sit in your car. There's got to be a certain place where you can pray without distractions.
Amen.
I mean, without the stupid television or radio or the phone ringing all the time. A place where you can pray. And there's many ways to pray and many places to pray. He was praying in a certain place, and we see that he was teaching his disciples by example. They were watching him pray. You got that? Now, a preacher can preach often on prayer, and a preacher ought to preach often on prayer, but a preacher can teach a lot more by example. If people say, I prayed with the pastor, I prayed with the preacher, he knows how to preach. That's going to say a lot more than a sermon on prayer. Both are good, but you notice our Lord was teaching by example. Notice verse 1. He was praying in a certain place when he sees one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. In other words, they were watching him pray. They were listening to him pray, and they wanted... And by the way, you notice in the Bible, never, ever did they say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to preach. They said, teach us to pray. He said, isn't preaching important? I believe with all my heart, if we can pray, we can preach. I remember when I was at Bible college, and I was in chapel, a preacher said in chapel, and I forget it, you know, I heard a lot of sermons in Bible college. I mean, we had chapel every day. So we had 4 years of Bible college, chapel every day. Man, that's a lot of preaching, right? I don't remember everything I heard there. Matter of fact, I don't remember most of what I heard. I remember this. He said, listen, men, learn how to pray. If you learn how to pray, you'll be a good preacher. If you learn how to pray, God will teach you how to preach. I believe that with all my heart. And he said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. That reminds us that John the Baptist was a man of prayer too. See that? Now, we have here in Luke 11 a great, great message on prayer. So our message this morning is titled, Praying According to the Will of God. Jesus said in Luke 11:2, Thy will be done. We know God has a perfect will for us. We know God wants to reveal that will to us. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 says, Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What does that mean? If you don't know God's will, you're unwise. Doesn't it say that? Ephesians 5 17? Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. To be wise is to know God's will. Furthermore, the Bible tells us God wants us to know His will. So let's look this morning at praying in the will of God. The Bible teaches us that God reveals His will to us through the Holy Spirit, and we respond to the Holy Spirit by praying. And when God answers our prayers, guess what? His will is accomplished. You see that? He puts it on our heart to pray about something. The Holy Spirit makes a very big impression. He puts it on our heart. We pray about it. And as we're praying about it, God is showing us, God answers the prayer, His will is done. Amen? Now, I have a very simple outline this morning. One is the privilege of prayer. It is indeed a great privilege to pray. You know, you say, well, what would happen if the President of the United States calls you up and said, talk to me, I want to talk to you. I say, well, that would be a great privilge, but you know what? I can talk to God, it's even better, amen? I go to God. He's a lot greater than the president. Amen?
Amen.
We lose sight of that.
And it's amazing to me how you have this great privilege, I have the privilege, and all the times we don't appreciate that privilege. And then pray.
So the privilege of prayer, secondly, the persistence of prayer. I want to say a lot about that persistence. Look at our text in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. Ask, seek, knock.
What's that? What does that, suggest to you? Persistence. Keep at it.
I heard a preacher say one time, well, you just got to pray once and leave with the Lord. I disagree with that. Maybe sometimes the Lord might put that on your heart, but I believe my Bible says, keep praying. Don't give up. And now the persistence of prayer. Thirdly, the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer. That's important too. Let's look at the privilege of prayer. As Christians, we have this great privilege of talking to God. We have the privilege of knowing that God wants us to pray. It's not like we're bothering Him. You know, you ever try to talk to somebody and they're in the middle of something and you feel like you're intruding and bothering them and you feel bad? God's not like that, amen? God wants us to pray. God will drop everything, if you will. I'm not trying to be irreverent, but God will put aside and listen to you and talk to you. Amen? You talk to Him. God wants us to pray. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 9. I say unto you, ask! Jesus, I'm telling you, ask! He wants us to ask! And it shall be what? Given you. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Is there anything complicated about that? Jesus, I want you to ask, and it's going to be given to you. And then He says, seek, and ye shall find. And then He says, knock. What does knock suggest to you? I go knocking on doors a lot. I go just about every Saturday, and I go Tuesday nights. I like knocking on doors. You know what? I don't just like this. Oh, guess I'm home. See you later. You ask anybody to go salt, knocking on doors with me. I knock hard, amen? I even go in the back door, knock too. I ring the bell and I knock. I knock, I ring the bell and knock again. Until he's sticking out the window and say, What do you want? Oh, I'm in the Baptist church, amen? Giving out gospel shouts. How you doing today? So I knock. What does that mean, knock? It means be persistent, right? Knock. And if you're not, it shall be open to you. For everyone that asketh, does this say some people who ask receive it? Does this say if you ask, you might receive? Is that what your Bible says? If your Bible says that, you got the wrong Bible, right? My Bible says, for everyone that asketh, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. That's a promise. We have the privilege of knowing that God wants us to pray. He invites us to pray. He hears our prayers, and praise God, He will answer our prayers. You can be sure of that. Look at verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And if you look at the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, how much more heavenly Father will give you good things? Of course, good things, the Holy Spirit is the best thing, amen? But good things. Things that He wants you to have. The problem in America today is there's so many, I hate to say it, but religious racketeers who take these verses and say, God wants you to have a lot of money. God wants you to have a big car. God wants you to have a big TV to watch the Super Bowl. That's not biblical. This is talking about spiritual things, amen? The spiritual blessings of God. He's going to give you the Holy Spirit, amen? That's the problem today. America is so materialistic, and that materialism has kind of spread out into the churches. Now, don't get me wrong. If you need a car to get to work, you pray about that. God will give you a car, amen?
Amen.
He might want you to take the bus for a while, because maybe there's something on the bus He wants you to do, like read the Bible, get out tracts, amen?
Amen.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. But you got to pray about that. They're all praying for a car. We had a preacher here a while back. He needed a truck. He prayed about it. God gave him a nice truck, amen?
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that. Or you need to move. You need a better place to live. Place we live in now, you know, maybe the roof leaks, or you know, there's no heat in the winter, or whatever. Of course, you're not really praying for another place to live. I'm not saying that we're all praying about those kind of things. I pray about those things myself sometimes. If I got a need, I take it before the Lord. Praise God, He answers those prayers, meets those things. But I'm saying, make sure our prayers aren't selfish. I mean, there's so much foolishness going on in churches today. Oh Lord, help me win the lottery. That's not a good prayer, brother. Amen. That's not a good prayer. I think if you're gambling, you're in sin.
Yeah,
it's just wrong to gamble as it is to drink or do dope or go run around with other women behind your wife's back. It's just bad. Sin! It's wrong! So, God has given us a great privilege to pray. But beloved, we have to understand that God wants us to pray. He wants to answer our prayers. And if we don't really believe that, if we don't have faith, we are hindering our prayer life. We're not praying effectively. And I'm afraid that's where some Christians miss the boat. They might not be praying selfishly. They might have good intentions. They might really want to pray the right way. Not for their own lust. They want to pray for God's work to go forward. But they don't have faith. And therefore, they're not effective in their praying. Let me give you some scripture. James 1:6. James 1:6 says, if you ask in faith, nothing wavering. You got that? Not wavering. Believe it. God's going to do it. God's going to answer that prayer. I believe God. He put that on my heart. I'm praying about it. God's going to answer that prayer. Amen? Not wavering. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall what? Have them. Do you believe that? Yeah, you believe that. Because he says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, have faith that you receive them, and then you shall have them. You say, well, how come some people don't get it? They don't really believe it. It's like, well, Lord, I know you're not really going to answer this prayer, but I really feel like I should pray about it. So if you can, but I'm not sure if you really can. That's not praying in faith, amen? That's wavering. That's just showing unbelief. That's showing doubt. God doesn't want you to pray like that. Believe. How about this one? 1 John 5:14-15. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, and there's those important words again, according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, according to that verse, those verses, God wants us to pray. God wants to answer our prayers. God will answer our prayers if it's according to His will. That's what I mentioned before about getting a car. Maybe God wants to give you a car, but not right now. Maybe He wants you to take the bus to work, because on the bus you can read your Bible. You can. Maybe God knows if you ride the bus, He's going to put somebody next to you that you can give a tract to and lead them to the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know what it is, but I'm trying to say, you've got to pray according to God's will.
Amen.
And we ought to not believe it's got to be God's will. God wouldn't want me to take the bus. How do you know that? Or maybe you want to get married right away. Maybe God doesn't want to get married right away. He wants to wait a little while. You say, why? I don't know. You've got to pray about God's will. Or maybe you want to go into the ministry, but it's not God's will right now. So why not? Well, is what God wants folks to preach? Yes, but He wants people to preach the way He wants them to preach, when He wants them to preach, where He wants them to preach. Amen?
Amen.
It's got to be according to God's will. Whatever it may be. It could be career, moving, marriage, having children. I mean, there's so many things we pray about. We got to pray according to God's will. Thy will be done. Isn't that what Jesus said? Luke 11, verse 2. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. We know that He hears us. What's what we ask? We know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him, but He says if we ask anything according to His will. Now, God invites us to pray. God expects us to pray. Jesus said in Luke 11:2, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray. We're supposed to pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Let me say something about that. I've got to be honest with you. When I first got saved and God called me to preach and I started preaching, I wrestled with that verse for a while. How can you pray without ceasing? I mean, how can you got things to do? You have obligations, you got responsibilities, you've got to work. How can you pray without ceasing? Let me just say this. I'm not going to talk too much about praying without ceasing today because I'm kind of going in a different direction right now with this, but let me say this. When God gives you a strong burden to pray about something, I mean a real burden, God put it on your heart. It might be about something, it might be about someone. Whatever it is, you'll pray without ceasing. Amen?
Amen.
You'll pray all the time. It'll be on your heart. You'll be praying about it all the time. Driving in your car, at home, at work, you'll be praying about it all the time. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer.
What does that mean? Instead of praying, he's praying all the time about something. If God put on your heart, and God gave you that burden, and God told you, and it's the will of God, keep praying about it. Pray all the time. Don't give up. He said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Ask and it shall be given. You seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So if God put it on your heart, man, just keep praying. And believe God. Say, God's going to answer this prayer. God put us on my heart to pray. I'm trusting in God. And he's going to see it happen. He's going to bring the path. What is so important to understand about these verses is that these words are commands. Ask, seek, knock. Our Lord is commanding us. We have to do this. And it's a privilege to do this. So our Lord has not only given us a gracious invitation, a gracious privilege, he's giving us a command that he expects us to obey. Referring to these verses, Andrew Murray, and by the way, you want to read some good books on prayer, read Andrew Murray. In his great book on prayer called With Christ in the School of Prayer, and by the way, that title, With Christ in the School of Prayer, comes from Luke 11:1. Lord, teach us to pray. We're in his school of prayer. But in that great book, Andrew Murray says that in this sixfold repetition, where do you get sixfold? Ask, seek, knock, everyone that asks and receives it, he that seeketh findeth, him that knocketh shall be opened. In the sixfold repetition, our Lord, I quote, wants to impress deep on our minds this one truth, that we may and must most confidently expect an answer to our prayer. You get that? That's good. He says God is trying to impress deep in our minds that we may and must confidently expect God to answer our prayers. Amen. And if we don't expect that, that's not effectual prayer. If you don't really believe God's going to answer that prayer, you're wasting your breath. Whatever you're doing, it's not real prayer. So that's the privilege of prayer. Let me say a few words about the persistence of prayer. I suppose I already have, but let me elaborate some more. Evangelist R.A. Torrey, a great preacher, he said this, when we have decided that we should pray for something, we should keep on praying until we get it. Now, if God put it on your heart, don't stop. If God put it on your heart, and you know this is God's will for you, and you're to pray for something, keep on praying. Keep on praying. That's what Jesus is teaching here in Luke chapter 11, especially verses 9 and 10. The Greek scholar, Kenneth Wiest, says the Greek language can say more in one word than the English language can in a half a dozen words. And that's true. I studied Greek in Bible college, and I found that to be true. Of course, I didn't get anywhere near as scholarly as Kenneth Wiest, and I forgot most of what I learned, but I remember that. The Greek language is very precise. And you can say a whole lot in one word. And we said this, in the imperative mode, the Greek tenses are very definite in their distinctions. So we have here in this passage in Luke 11, 9 and 10, our Lord is using the imperative mode in his command to pray. The force of these words literally means keep on asking. Keep on asking, it shall be given to you. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. That's the idea of the imperative mode in Greek. To keep at it. Keep at it. Don't just say, well, I prayed about it, that's it. No. That's not what Jesus wants us to do. It literally means to keep on, keep at it. In other words, don't give up. Don't be impatient. Oh, man. You're looking at one of the most impatient people in the world. But God has taught me patience, and one way he's taught me is through waiting for answered prayers. Don't be impatient. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. We must persist until the answer comes. And we know from the authority of God's word, the answer will come. We see that very clearly here. Look at verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight, saying to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, watch this now, Yet because of his importunity. What does that mean, importunity? Come on, I got friends here. Come on. That's importunity. You say, isn't that a little pushy? God wants you to keep pushing, amen? Because of importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. So here we have a promise. Persistent prayer will be answered. Praying in God's will requires perseverance. It means perseverance, persistence. This kind of prayer requires determined effort. Importunity is a strong word. It literally means shamefacedness or shamelessness. Like, you know, most people would be embarrassed to keep on knocking like that. But we're not, because God wants us to. That's what it means. That's what the word means. It means to be persistent and to not give up. Keep your place here, please. Let me show you another parable which is similar. Look at Luke 18. Similar in some ways. Look at Luke 18. Verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and what? That means persistence, right? What does faith mean? Like, oh, I'm tired. I've been praying so much, I'm tired. I'm going to stop praying. No, don't stop. Because just when you're about to stop, that's when God's going to come through for you. Amen? Don't stop. Don't give up. Men ought always to pray at the faint. Saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. In other words, he was a bad man. He wasn't a God-fearing man. And he neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. What does that mean? She kept at it. She kept going to that judge. Come on, judge, you've got to help me. Judge, please, judge. He said, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He said, she's wearing me out. So I'm going to give in. What's the point? God says, if an unsaved judge is going to be like that, how much more our Heavenly Father who loves us and wants us to pray and wants to answer our prayers? That's the point. Persistent praying. And then he says here in chapter 18, in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? What does that mean, day and night? It means you pray in the morning, you pray in the evening. You pray when you get up, you pray throughout the day, you pray during the evening, you pray before you go to bed. Amen? Day and night, keep at it. Persistent prayer. You sign and get time for that. Hey, God puts that burden on your heart. You'll have a time. Amen? There's so many things we do that are definitely not as important as prayer. A lot of things we do. Some folks talk on the phone too much. Some folks watch the stupid boob tube. Some people read the trashy newspapers or magazines. Whatever it may be, you can cut a lot of time out and spend more time in prayer. Amen? So he says here, shall not God avenge his own elect? That means us, those of us who are chosen and saved, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He's going to answer your prayer. Help is on the way. Amen?
Amen.
He goes, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, why did Jesus add that on at the end? I'll tell you what he meant by that. As we get closer to the second coming of Christ, men are going to be praying less and less. Our forefathers prayed more than Christians do today. They knew how to get a hold of God and pray. We're not seeing that today. And I think the idea is, when Christ comes back, there's going to be such apostasy. And we're seeing that today. I'm always hearing these stories. You hear this church is closed down. This church is bringing in rock music. This church stopped preaching the gospel. This church has a lady preacher now. This church closed down the Sunday night service. This church stopped soul winning. I mean, it's apostasy. Church is getting weaker and weaker, and they're closing down, and they're going into all sorts of error and worldliness. Hey, what's going to happen when Christ comes back, people aren't going to pray anymore. You know why? They're going to not believe that God answers prayer. They're going to think it's not important to pray. They're going to think they have other more important things to do than pray. That's what the Lord's saying here. He says here in verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let me say something to you young folks. You young people.
Now's a good time to develop discipline in your life. And one of the greatest disciplines you can develop is having a prayer life. Get yourself a prayer journal. Get yourself a prayer time. And have your devotions. And pray every morning. Well, I got one little... Amen? Come on now!
Amen.
You say, I get up early and I rush off to school. Then go to bed earlier and wake up earlier. Amen?
Amen.
Find the time. Now's the time to do that. I hear things. A lot of young people don't have devotions. Listen, a lot of adults don't have devotions. I was talking to a Christian man recently. He admitted to me he's had a hard time finding the will of God. God seems far away from him. He admitted to me he hasn't been going soul winning. He has no interest in soul winning. He's cold. I said, "You have any devotions?" I knew the answer. He said, "No." There you go. God is far away. He'll come back right away if you're going to need some prayer. Amen?
Amen.
God needs to say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I have my devotions. I want to get this thing right." Oh boy, God. I said, "You'll hear from heaven real quickly." Amen?
Amen.
That's the problem. People aren't praying. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And we mentioned churches getting cold. You know why they're getting cold? You know why they're going liberal? You know why they're getting worldly? They got a whole congregation full of people who aren't praying. Amen!
Amen.
Preacher doesn't pray. Deacons don't pray. Sunday school teachers don't pray. That's a messed up church. Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't give you 2 cents for a church like that. If they don't believe in prayer, how can they expect the blessings of God? That's what he got. And we shouldn't get out of young people for not praying. What do you old folks aren't praying? Parents, set a good example. Have family prayer time with your family. Amen?
Amen.
Now, God moves in response to persistent prayer. Praying according to the will of God always brings a response from God. Always. You can walk it down. I just read to you 1 John 5:14-15. In Luke 11, our Lord stresses this important truth by means of 3 illustrations from daily life. When a son asks for bread, will his loving father give him a stone? Now, I got 4 children. I can't imagine my kids coming to me and saying, "Dad, I need help." I give them a stone, amen? Most of your parents, you know you wouldn't do something like that. You give them whatever you can. Because you love your children. And doesn't God love us?
Amen.
That's the idea. Or, if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Of course not. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? To do so would be contrary to human nature. Because even evil men, our Lord uses the word evil, means depraved, ungodly. Even evil men love their children. Even worldly, wicked, unsaved men love their children. And how much more does God love His children?
Amen.
How much more is the term Jesus used? How much more? He says in Luke 11. Let's go back to our text. In Luke 11. And verse 13. If ye then be evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more? How much more? Does the Heavenly Father love us and want to bless us and want to answer our prayers and want to give us good things? Now, arguing from the lesser to the greater was a popular teaching technique. And our Lord uses this technique here and elsewhere. He also used it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, when he said, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" That's the whole point. If the Lord takes care of the birds, fowls of the air, He feeds them and takes care of them. Is He going to take care of you and me? Of course He will. If God feeds the little birds, He's certainly going to feed us. He said, "Are ye not much better than they?" And then He said, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you?" Matthew 6:30, you know the verse doesn't end there. How does it end? "O ye of little faith." Have faith in God, amen?
Amen?
He feeds the birds, He clothes the grass of the field, and you are much more important to Him
than the birds of the air and the grass of the field. Amen. He will answer your prayers. He will take care of you. Praying according to the will of God takes faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God, the Bible says. Hebrews 11:6. No loving father would deceive his child by giving him a stone for a bread, or a serpent for a fish, or a scorpion for an egg. No loving father would do such a thing. He wouldn't deceive his beloved child. And God is no deceiver. Amen?
Amen.
God does not invite us to pray and then turn around and deceive us. Just like a father wouldn't deceive his own child and say, "You want bread? Here you go," and give him a stone. Like a father wouldn't do that. God would not do that. The devil's a deceiver, but praise God, God is no deceiver. Now, there's an interesting verse about prayer in Ezekiel 36. And I have to be honest with you, I've preached Ezekiel 36 a few times. I even went through the entire book of Ezekiel on Wednesday nights a few years back. All the way, preached the whole entire book on Wednesday nights. And I missed this. I didn't miss it now. I got it this time. Let me just give it to you quickly. In Ezekiel 36, verse 24, God says, "For I'll take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land." Now, that's talking about the restoration of Israel. God's going to bring Israel back into the land. I'm going to keep reading. The following verses, God says, "He's going to clean them from all their idolatry and their filthiness. He's going to cleanse them. He's going to give them a new heart and a new spirit." That's wonderful, right? Some beautiful promises in Ezekiel 36. Then he says in verse 28, "They'll dwell in the land that God gave to their forefathers, or the land of Israel, and they shall be God's people. He will be their God." And many, many other wonderful promises are given. Then in verse 37, Ezekiel 36:37, God says, "Thus saith the Lord God." Now watch this now. I'm reading from Ezekiel 36, verse 37. "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them." You get that? He already promised he's going to do that. Then he says, "Yet for this I'll be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them." In other words, God says, "I still want you to pray and ask me for it." He already said he's going to do it. That tells me, even though the Bible has many precious promises, I'm still going to pray because God wants me to. God reveals his will to us in many ways. Certainly the most clearest way is in the Bible. And he still wants to pray and ask him. God has spoken. And he will do what he says he would do. We can count on that. And yet he wants his people to ask him for it. He requires that his people should humble themselves and seek his face and pray. And what is wonderful about all this is that God will incline our hearts to pray. God will incline our hearts to seek his will and to pray for his will to be done. That's what's wonderful about the whole thing. God wants to show us his will, and God wants us to pray according to his will, and God wants to answer our prayers so his will be done. Isn't that wonderful? That's how God works. We must pray, for by persistent prayer, God is sought unto and inquired after. Quickly, look at Ezekiel 36, real quickly. I know we're running out of time. We've got a few minutes. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:36. Ezekiel 36:36. He says here, look at the end of the verse. The end of the verse. "I, the Lord, have spoken," and what? "I will do it." God says, "I'm going to do it." And if God is going to do it, man, he's going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Now look at verse 37. "Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them." He says he's going to do it. Then the very next verse he says, "And you're going to inquire. You're going to ask me for it." Wow, that really shook me up when I saw that. How important it is to pray according to God's will. And pray, don't stop praying until it happens. And then even after it happens, keep praying, saying, "Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord."
Amen.
Abraham's servant didn't stop praying when Rebecca came. He started rejoicing and praising God for how it all worked out. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm running out of time. I spoke about the privilege of prayer and the persistence of prayer. I want to just say a few more words about the purpose of prayer. God's will and God's purpose is carried out through prayer.
I mean, I can't overemphasize the importance of prayer. This is God's purpose for us. We're going to be a praying people. You read the Bible, Jesus was always praying. You notice that? Apostle Paul was always praying. I mean, I read the epistles of Paul, he's always saying, I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. The importance of prayer. And by the way, you really want a blessing? Read all the prayers in the Bible. It's going to take you a long time. It's going to really amaze you how many prayers are in the Bible. Go from the Old Testament through the Bible and through the New Testament and read all those prayers. Boy, that'll help you to pray. Amen?
Amen.
But anyway, God's will and purpose is carried through prayer. I'll give you an example. In the days of King Ahab and his wicked wife, Queen Jezebel, God raised up the great prophet Elijah to stop Baal worship from taking over Israel. And by the way, we got a lot of modern day Baal worship today, too. Now they call it purpose driven, seeker friendly, all sorts of stuff. None of the modern day Baal worship. But anyway, God used the draught to get wicked King Ahab's attention. And Ahab was an ungodly king, and God used the draught. It didn't rain for 3 years. That'll get your attention, by the way. You have no rain for 3 years. And God's purpose was put forward through the prayers of Elijah. Are you with me? Baal worship was a problem. The king of Israel and his heathen wife were promoting Baal worship in Israel. Baal worship threatened to take over the whole kingdom. God raised up Elijah the prophet to stop it, and the way God's program and purpose and will was carried forth was through the prayers of Elijah. You think about that. Now, James 5, 17 and 18 says this. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. You get that? He was like you and me. We think of Elijah, oh, the great Elijah. I could never be like it. Why not? He's a man of like passions like you and me. You could be another Elijah. There are some people that are shut-ins who pray all the time and God's using them. You don't have to be a great prophet. Just a humble servant of God. Amen? So Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed what? Earnestly. Not just kind of weak praying I hear sometimes. Some of those prayers wouldn't get higher than this ceiling right here. He prayed fervently, earnestly. And the Bible says that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. 3.5 years. That's a pretty serious drought, huh? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth the fruit. So we're told in James 5, 17, 18, that he prayed, God held back the rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the windows of heaven were open, and the blessings came down. Amen? And it poured an abundance of rain. Beloved, God wants you and me to pray like Elijah. You can and I can, if we really want to. You have not because you what? Ask us. What does it say in Luke chapter 11 again? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to them that ask him. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll pray like Elijah. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, maybe even better than Elijah. Amen?
Amen.
If you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, God wants us to pray like Elijah. Let me give you another scripture. James 5:16. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Availeth much. Let me quickly explain. If it's not effectual, it's not going to avail much. You got that? If it's not effectual. If it's not effectual, it's ineffective. It's not going to avail much. And I think much praying going on today is ineffective. It's not effectual prayer. It has to be effectual, fervent prayer, and then it avails much. When we pray, beloved, we put all our dependence upon God. We believe God. And we're expecting God to answer that prayer. That's effectual prayer. Elijah believed God. There's no doubt in his mind that God was going to hold back the rain, and then God was going to send the rain. He believed God, and God answered that prayer. Because it was an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That tells me you've got to be saved. And furthermore, you'd be welcome with God. It doesn't say the effectual, fervent prayer of a backslidden man, amen? Or a wishy-washy man. Or a lukewarm man. No, a righteous man. Or, by the way, of course, a woman. Some of the greatest prayer warriors have been women.
Some of them they can't preach, can't even teach Sunday school. Some are shut in. Some of them are sickly, but they can get a hold of God. Amen?
Amen.
I've heard some wonderful testimonies about that. It thrilled my soul. When we pray, we have to believe that God is hearing our prayers and is going to answer our prayers. We're trusting God. We're putting all of our hands upon God. Because He promises us that He will answer our prayers. We see that right here in Luke 11 and so many other places. And the conclusion of this wonderful parable on prayer is found at the end of verse 13, Luke 11, 13. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Have you asked for that? He said, Pastor, I thought if I was saved, I already have the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But does He have all of you? Amen? You see, some people are saved, so the Holy Spirit dwells in them, but there's no power. They're not walking in the Spirit, they're walking in the flesh, they're not praying, they're not right with God. You need to get this thing settled today, amen? So important. Those of us that are saved, yes, we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but God, our Heavenly Father, wants for us to have the fullness of His Spirit. This is God's will for us. This is God's purpose for us. You know, God could have saved you and God could have saved me and taken us right to heaven, right? He put us here for a reason. And I don't have time now to give you all the reasons because we're running out of time, but I'll tell you one of them. Be filled with the Spirit and to pray in the Spirit. And to pray according to God's will. And if you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying according to God's will. George Mueller was a great man of prayer. If you want to get thrilled, read his biography. There's actually quite a few of them out there. Prayer journals, biography. A.T. Pearson wrote a great biography of George Mueller. But anyway, George Mueller said this. Now, George Mueller wrote this 3 years before he died. He wrote it in March of 1895. He died in March of 1898. George Mueller said this. I never remember in all my Christian course a period now of 69 years and 4 months that I ever sincerely and patiently sought to know the will of God by the teaching of the Holy Ghost through the instrumentality of the Word of God, but I have been always directed rightly. There you have it. That's quite a testimony, right?
Yeah.
All those years, he said, God never failed me. I always found the perfect will of God. George Mueller kept a record of all his prayer requests and how God answered his prayer. Thousands of prayers were answered. He fed all those orphans and those orphanages without even asking for money. God provided. God just kept sending it in. That's how closely he walked with God. You know, someone told me recently, I can't preach the gospel. I can't be in the ministry. I'm this and that. And I said, you know, it wasn't like I hung up the phone. I thought about, I should have told about George Mueller. George Mueller was a rascal before he got saved. Amen? Read his testimony. Read his biography. He was a drunk. He was a rascal. But God saved his soul and turned him around and became a great man of faith and a great prayer warrior. And God used him in a mighty way. And God can use you and me if we really mean business for God. Amen? God has a perfect will for us. And God wants us to pray according to that will. And again, let me repeat. God will reveal our will to us. He wants to reveal our will to us. He'll give us a burden to pray for something. We can be short from God. Holy Spirit will make it real to us. We pray. Know what is God's will. We believe God's going to answer that prayer. And when God answers that prayer, God's will is done. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach about this important subject today. Lord, I hope and pray that our members get a hold of this and be more serious about prayer. I'm concerned some folks skip prayer meeting. Some folks don't have devotions. Some folks don't have a prayer journal or a prayer list. I mean, it's amazing how some people don't pray for our missionaries. It's kind of a sad situation. Part of the problem, I guess, is we don't preach enough about it, talk enough about it, and we need to keep on putting before our people. And Lord, I pray that somehow, something that was said today will be a help and a blessing to those that are assembled here. And Lord, I don't know if everybody in this room is saved. Maybe there's somebody here today that's not saved. I hope they understand that God's perfect will for them is for them to trust Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Took them to sin, and Christ died for them, and he'll save their soul if they just turn to Him and believe in Him. While our heads are down, our eyes are closed, and no one's looking around, I'm going to say, Pastor, I have to be honest before God. I have not been praying like I should, but God has convicted me. I need to get serious about prayer. Just raise your hand. We'll pray for you right now. Oh, yes, all over the room. God bless you. Appreciate your honesty before God. Praise God. God bless you. You can put them down now. Have them say, Pastor, I never really quite grasped that concept of effectual prayer. My prayers perhaps have not been effectual because I really didn't see that before, but now I see it very clearly, what it means to pray effectually and pray according to the will of God. God showed me that this morning, and I'm going to pray more effectively now. I want God to help me to pray according to the perfect will of God and to be effective in my prayer life. I want to see my prayers answered. I want to see God moving in my life. Just raise your hand. Oh, many people. God bless you. Amen. Amen. All right, how about this? How many say, Pastor, you know, you talk about being saved and being born again, and I'm not even sure if I'm saved. My friend, let me tell you something. You can know for sure how to be saved by what the Bible teaches, that Christ died for your sins, Christ took your place on the cross. If you'll trust in Him, He'll save you, and you can be saved even now, even today. How many would say, Pastor, please pray for me, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Just raise your hand right now, we'll pray for you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, please pray for me, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm just not sure about this, but I want to get it settled today. Is there anybody else? Say, please pray for me. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, very thankful, all for the good response, the many hands that went up. And we're thankful for this gentleman who wants to get this thing settled about being saved. Oh, what a blessing it would be if he got saved today. And what a blessing it would be if each and every person in this room would spend more time in prayer and pray more effectively. Understand what it means to be a fervent, effectual prayer. To understand that, Lord, you want us to know your will. You want to show us your will. You want us to pray according to your will. You want our prayers to be answered. You want us to come to you in prayer. Help us really get a hold of this and really mean business in this matter of prayer. Help us to be good students in the school of prayer. Have your way during the invitation now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Song and